of the Talking Heads. Alvin and Lawrence Ubel have been regular guests on this show longer than anyone here can remember. Somehow they started being called the gurus of how-to, but they're also known more officially as the Accurate Building Inspectors, based in Brooklyn. Each season brings its own particular needs for home repair, and since no one quite knows how many seasons it will be in 1 week these days, it makes the Ubels all the more helpful. I'm happy to welcome them back here to advise us on all the sorts of things that can go wrong, like installing air conditioners, cleaning filters, leaks. I'm so excited you guys are here.
We're so glad to be here.
Okay, and if any of you out there have specific questions, you can call right now at 212-433-9692. And you can also send us your tweets. Our handle is at WNYC Midday. So, guys, this is a time I'm going to take advantage of being the host to ask you for my own kind of advice. All right. I have a lot of hair, as I guess the staff has noticed, and it does frequently clog up the sink. So what's the best way to unclog a sink outside of Drano, Drano is even good?
Well, there are a whole bunch of this. Drano, there's clobber, there's...
Clobber, I've not heard of that.
Clobber, there's liquid plumber. These are all acids that are able to digest protein, and hair is loaded with protein, and that's what dissolves it into a liquid form, and it drains out.
Okay.
But if it's clogged up with other things, like maybe chicken bones and fish bones.
Chicken bones? What are you saying, Mr. Ubel? No, go on.
But
it's okay.
It's a kitchen sink, or there's sometimes something in that is not protein. Sometimes you'll have to snake it out, or you may have to use a plunger, and there's also a whole bunch of techniques on how to use a plunger. A plunger doesn't work by pushing. It works by pulling.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You gotta push it down and then quickly suck it up.
It up. Oh,
and
okay.
Then it breaks up the blockage and then the drain goes out.
But
I didn't realize that.
If you have a bathroom drain that has a stopper in it with one of those mechanical ones, that's actually a better thing for hair blockages, because usually the hair gets clogged and caught around the arm that makes it go up and down. So what you would want to do is get underneath the sink, unscrew the in the back where the arm fits into the tailpiece that comes out of the drain, pull that out, and then pull the stopper out with the clump of disgustingness. Okay? And then you clean it with rubber gloves, or if you're a wild person, not, because it's mostly your stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Except it's just got age to it.
Is that an official term, clump of disgustingness? I just have to ask.
If you ask my wife, yes it is. Okay.
It is a clump.
Yeah, and it is really gross. And so you pull it, you throw it in the garbage, and then you move on, you clean out. If you don't have one of those strainers, and everyone or stoppers, you should at least have a strainer in your sink to catch most of it. But if you don't even have that, and the blockage is in the trap part of it, you might need to disassemble the trap. Or if it's beyond that, in the actual drain, then a plumber will probably need to be contacted, because now you're talking some major repair.
All right.
But that leads us into that August is House Wellness Month.
Is that right?
Yes. This is the perfect month to start doing stuff, because if your air conditioning is not working by now, it's probably not going to be working at all. We're not doing heating yet, so the heating contractors actually have time.
And we have a problem in the office that way.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's okay. But if you're, you know, doing heating, it's a good time to clean out your gutters and leaders before the fall. Because if you haven't cleaned the gutters and leaders out from last year, then that's just going to create a problem once the fall leaves start falling down, because now you're going to have double the amount of debris. So you need to clean that.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a good time to get your heating system and your domestic hot water
going,
everything. And I've been doing more than my fair share of wellness inspections, because, you know, we do home inspections for people who are about to buy houses. But what we do it seems to be that during the summer, people have time off. They have time to go through a house, and we go through the house piece by piece, because to most people, their house is pretty much a black box. It's no difference than their iPhone. They have really no idea how it works. You know, you turn the thermostat up, it gets hot. You turn it down, it gets cool. You turn on the faucet, the water runs out. Where does the water come from? I don't know. Where does the waste go? I know less about
you
that.
You only start caring about it when things go wrong.
Oh, when things go sideways or pear-shaped, that's when you really care about things. And so what we try to do in a lot of our wellness inspections is, like, here, this is really an imminent
disaster in the making.
It's an imminent time of failure. Mm-hmm. It's reached the end of its service life, and it's time to think about upgrading it to a better piece of equipment, or just let's, like the one I did the other day, dampness in their basement. What can I do about the smell? No one can figure it out. Yeah, no one figured it out because no one told you to put a dehumidifier in your basement.
Okay, we've got calls coming in like crazy.
But, we also have a word that they try to guess at on every show that that people try to guess if we give them a clue.
Okay.
It's like Jeopardy almost.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to get to all of that. I think we're going to start with Ben in Harlem. Ben, are you there?
I am, yeah. Thanks for having me on. My question for Alvin and Lawrence is about an air conditioning unit I have. I have the quiet Mitsubishi ones that are located on the wall, kind of up near the ceiling.
Yeah, the mini splits.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I love these guys. And I've got three of them in my apartment. One of them, which is the biggest one, it's kind of on all the time. I start to notice it this time of the summer when it's, you know, crazy hot. But there's moisture that appears to be kind of seeping out from kind of the back of it because the wall starts to get a little stained and moldy. I just wondered, you know, is it just a matter of I'm not cleaning my filters? You're supposed to do that, like you're supposed to floss, and I just never do, but I do floss. You know, is there something else that I need to do, get the guy in to look at it?
Well, unless you actually see water dripping out, right? If there's no water dripping out of the unit, then it's not the condensate pan that's clogged. What I think is happening here is that there's really no insulating material between the air conditioning unit itself and the wall, and the unit is so cold that it's causing the wall to condensate. And so moisture is attaching itself to the wall.
So what can be done for that? How do you make that not happen?
You could shove
in
a piece of styrofoam.
Well, actually, you would have to actually remove the unit from the wall and put in some kind of insulating material between the unit and
the
itself.
Wall.
What kind of material would work? Not styrofoam?
No, you would probably have to, it'd have to be a combination. What would probably work the best is a block of plywood.
Because
plywood, especially exterior grade plywood that you would paint with an exterior grade paint, and you would have it sandwiched between the unit and the existing wall, and that would move it away from the wall a little bit, and you would actually end up with a certain amount of insulating factor because wood has a better insulating factor than the drywall wood, and it wouldn't be horribly affected by the moisture.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because I've been thinking of getting mini splits, and that's good to know that them flush
against
the wall.
But this is an unusual problem. I've never heard this particular issue before. This is a new one. It also could be that there might be in the unit itself, and this has occurred to me, that maybe the air is being diverted in the wrong direction, and maybe there's some kind of cowling missing in the back of the unit, forcing the air to the back of the unit instead of coming to the front of the unit, causing the back of the unit to get cold.
Also, sometimes when somebody comes cleans the insides of those air conditioners, they're usually from the manufacturer. They have insulation on the inside of it so as to prevent the heat from being extracted from the metal. And so what happens is when the heat is extracted from the metal gets cold, and that's when you have condensation.
Or maybe there's an element missing in that particular unit.
Right.
That could be that, too.
Okay, Ben, you got some work
I think you actually need to call a technician to at least analyze the situation.
Then call a technician. Now, the U-Bells, you guys have a quiz for our listeners?
Yeah, we have the radio word game.
Okay, radio word game. Everybody stand by. Okay, hit it.
You want it?
Okay. What is the name of the special concrete slab that is mounted on vibration isolators, which in turn supports a vibrating piece of equipment and prevents the noise and vibration from emanating through the structure?
Okay, let's just reread the phone number for anybody who has the answer to that very interesting question. 212-433-9692. That's the U-Bells quiz. Can you repeat that question one more time for our listeners?
Yes, in a different way. What is the name of the special concrete slab that is mounted on vibration isolators, which in turn supports a noisy vibrating machine that prevents and reduces the noise and pictures frames from rattling in your home? Okay. In other words, what is this thing that stops if you have a nice big pump or compressor that vibrates and makes noise and we stick it on this concrete slab? What stops that noise from emanating through your home or through your building? A lot of people in apartment buildings have this kind of equipment. It's
they
more
hear
common.
The vibration.
It's more common to bigger commercial or multiple dwellings.
Okay. Yes. We're going to go to Roger in Greenwood Lake. Roger, you're on with the U-Bell Brothers.
Hi, I have kind of a strange question, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry, not the Ubel brothers, the Ubel father and son.
Okay, that wasn't the question.
I had to straighten that out, Roger, sorry.
Okay,
please continue.
I want to find out how to make a door squeak.
How to make it squeak?
Oh, right. It's
ooh,
easy.
You okay. Go with your, you go with yours, I'll go with mine.
Okay, how to make a door squeak.
The door to the attic, I figured out how to turn a book on the shelf to make the door open. And now I want it to squeak like an Agatha Christie novel.
In other words, he's doing a horror house kind of thing.
All right,
so.
Well, that's an easy thing. First of all, what you got to do is you got to wash that hinge, take out the pin, clean all the oil and grease.
Rubbing alcohol.
Oh. Clean all of the lubrication off that unit, and instead of putting back the pin, put back a bolt and a nut on it, and just tighten that bolt up until it starts squeaking.
That's number
incredible.
One. My way is, again, clean it off. But instead, if you know, have any friends who are string players, get some of their rosin and take the pin and rub it in the rosin and then stick it into the slot and it will start to squeak.
All right.
Because the metal against metal is like a bow on a violin against
that
the
hasn't
string.
Been rosined. Right. Yes. Oh, and no. I can hear that sound.
Well,
in
actually,
my...
no. The rosin actually makes it squeak because if you have a bow and a string on a violin and there's no rosin on it, the string won't vibrate. It'll just slide across it. It's the rosin that makes the string go like this.
Oh, I should have known that after years of playing viola. All right, I messed up. Okay,
I have a great joke for you about string quartets.
Okay, well, we can discuss that after we get off the air. All right, we've got Mark in Manhattan. I guess Mark had a leak in his ceiling and wants to know what to do about that. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
I had a leak in my ceiling, which the landlord was able to fix without having to open the ceiling.
Yes.
And the ceiling looks dry, but I can smell mold or mildew. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if I should have the landlord open up the ceiling and really replace it, or since there's no opening, no spores can get through, will the ceiling just, now that there's no leak,
well,
eventually just dry and the smell will go away?
How long ago did the leak get fixed?
About a week ago.
You should wait about two, three weeks.
I mean, you could wait some time, but if you smell it beyond the next week, I mean, I have to also say that we are up in the, 80, 90% relative humidity, almost 100% when it rains on a regular basis. We've had our swampy weather for a while now. So, it's true. So, I mean, the getting it to dry out is going to be challenging. I'm always hesitant because I don't know what people's particular immune issues are, and mold can be a problem. If generally you're a healthy person, it's not a problem, but if you have some issues, that I would, if it goes on for more than a little, from another week, I would contact the landlord to open up the space, clean it out, and then
and maybe ventilate it in some
ventilate.
Way.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, to be honest with you, mold is not the problem. Mold is the symptom. Of leakage, of water, of all those things. So its mold does not just grow on its own. It has to have help.
Right.
But mold is the thing that affects us. The water in the ceiling does not really affect us. It's the mold growth.
It's the mold afterwards.
Is what affects us. And I'm always hesitant to tell people not to do something, especially when it comes to environmental issues.
I'm speaking with Al and Larry Ubel, who are the gurus of how to. And before we give out the number again, can you read your question again? Because I know everybody's got these home repair issues, but the guys did come with their quiz.
Yes, and you do get... And you do get a free book.
And you're getting a free book if you can give the answer to their question.
Al Ubel, save money, save energy.
Go ahead.
What is the name of the special concrete slab that is mounted on vibration isolators, which in turn supports a noisy vibrating machines that prevents the noise and sound from emanating through the structure?
Okay, guys, if you know the answer to that question and want to get that free book, give us a call at 212. Go ahead.
It's a specific kind of structure that is in almost every tall building with big equipment.
Okay, someone's got to know. 212-433.
Yeah, one of you ringers out there.
212-433-9692. Let's go to Kelly in Montclair.
Hi, Kel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up?
So I don't know. I didn't get the memo, but apparently there's a theme to the show today. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if mold test kits are helpful in assessing how damp my home is, or if there's moisture in my wall.
No. No.
Yeah, I think these...
What mold... Here's the problem with mold. What assesses how damp your house is get yourself a hygrometer or a humidity...
Dehumidifier?
No, no, a humidity detector. In other words, a humistat. That's what I mean. Get, not a humistat, a...
well, it's a hygrometer.
Yeah, something that tells you what the humidity is in your space. That's what tells you what the moisture level is. So if you put it in your basement, if it reads higher than 50% or 60%, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
That and that's like
what
a swamp.
You need. What mold tests do is just tell you the presence of mold. But unfortunately, there is no standard for mold. There's standard for lead. There's a standard for lead.
There's a standard for radon.
There's a standard for heavy metals. For everything that there is out there, asbestos, we have standards for that because it's a specific thing. Mold is a constant moving target. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly mutating. And so, and there are so many strains of mold. How could you have a...
It could be
standard?
Thousands
In other
of
words,
strains.
A thousand spores of one type of strain could do no damage at all. And 20 spores of another strain could do major damage to a person. So there's no standard. And again, the problem is not the mold itself. It's the uncontrolled moisture and water. So what you need to do is get a hygrometer in your house, in your basement, in your first floor, in your second floor, and read them and see what they say. And if they get above 50%, it's time to throw in a dehumidifier to bring that moisture level down to 50%.
To below 50%.
Okay.
But 40% is really the best livable
level
relative humidity in your home.
40%.
And also about mold, mushrooms that we eat is a mold.
I know.
Mold.
It's blue cheese. It's all blue cheese is mold.
And they're two of my favorites. Yeah. But hearing the word spore just makes me a
little... Chopped in with little onions and saute them with eggs. Very good.
With penicillin.
Now the Yuvel brothers have branched out into cooking tips. We're back with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, who have been regulars for so many years on this show. And you are the gurus of how to. Alvin, father, Larry, son. I keep saying the brothers, but it's, I feel this brotherly vibe between the two of you. Larry's shaking his head. Okay, let's just go to Chuck in Buchanan, New York, who thinks he has the right answer to your quiz.
Hey, Chuck.
Chuck, are you there?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's good. Okay, so what do you think the answer is?
My best belief is I think it's called a machine foundation.
Is he correct?
No.
It's a good guess. But it's
a little bit more technical than that.
Okay.
Anyway,
All right. Thanks for listening. Okay. Thank you, Chuck.
Let's see.
Joe in Manhattan. I think we're going to give him a shot at the answer.
Hey, Joe.
Joe?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hi. What do you think the answer to the quiz is?
I don't think it's as technical as that. I said dampener.
No, a dampener is part of it, but that's not the whole structure. We're looking for the whole structure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
give a hint out there, it's like a floating piece of concrete.
Okay. And just before we go to another person who thinks they have the answer, can you guys read the quiz?
Sure.
Read the question one more time.
What is the name of the special concrete slab that is mounted on vibration isolators or springs, which in turn supports a vibrating machine that prevents and or reduces the noise from emanating through the structure?
Okay, I think we've got Anita in Bloomfield. Anita thinks she has the answer. Anita, are you there?
I am.
What is the answer?
I'm going to say, since I've heard some other things, I'm going to add dampening cushion.
No.
No? Not a dampening cushion?
Nope.
Is she close?
Nope.
Oh, Moses, you guys. Oh, my gosh. This is rough. Okay, what about, we'll try Rich in Norwalk. Hey, Rich, are you there?
Hey, Rich.
Yes.
What
yes,
do you think
I am.
It is?
Hello.
Okay, what do you think it is, Rich?
I think the answer you're looking for is inertia base.
Good enough.
Okay, we have. There we go.
We were looking for inertia block.
Okay.
But close enough.
It's close enough.
And why do you know? Why are you even close?
Well, I cheat because I am a mechanical engineer.
You know what? Like I said at the beginning, I wait for one of our ringers to call in.
Well, Rich, you had a little edge in that, but congratulations. Okay. And what does Rich win for knowing the answer to the quiz?
What is it?
Save Energy, Save Money by Al Ubell and George Merlis, a producer of mine on Good Morning America.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yes. So hold on, and they'll take your info.
So hang on there and you'll get your info. I think we've got, let's see. Oh, I see we have Marissa in Brooklyn who has a question for the two of you.
Hey, Marissa.
Hi, Marissa.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So we had a house renovation and they put in brand new mini split, Mitsubishi mini split. Mm-hmm. And we also, it ended up being a gut renovation because everything behind the walls was horrible. And we raised the ceilings. And so basically since I've been using these new units since May, mm-hmm. whenever I use the units, the house fills with humidity, like goes into the 70s, so which is the opposite of how ACs are meant to work, obviously. So wow. We've had the AC units checked a bunch of times. They've found other problems with the install, but that are not related to the humidity. Now some people are saying that maybe we took off too much height in the ceiling and there's not enough airflow. Someone else just said, actually, we have to spray foam the whole ceiling inside. Yikes. And leave no room. Mm-hmm. There's like the, you know, get rid of the 4 inches that there does still exist between the ceiling and the roof because maybe it's coming from there. But
this only happens when you run the mini splits. It doesn't have, now the mini splits, is that also your heat source?
They do have heat, but no, we have separate radiators. We have water.
Circulated hot water or hydronic. Yeah. So this
it's
only
funny, this mini splits, which I've seen in other people's places, and I kind of want to get it for my house. There's some issues with them, huh?
There are some, but this is an unusual one. So the humidity goes, I'm thinking, have they checked that the units are draining properly?
So they are not draining that, like, so separate from that, we found that we did just get a bad install and they are going to repair the install and change it because mm-hmm. the people installed them, they decided to run the house, like, that we have pipes running through the whole house and they all just go down to the basement as opposed to just getting out of the house as quickly as possible. And they have found, like, one of them dislodged and leaked in the wall, but it's always very obvious, like, you know, like,
but it's what I'm thinking is that I'm wondering about the install, and I think this is really the direction to go in. Are the units themselves actually draining? Because there's a pan at the bottom, and if there's water sitting in the pan, that water could be reintroduced into the space by the air flowing through it. And so if it's not draining properly, it's actually reintroducing the moisture that you just took out of the air. Go.
There's also another thing is pan is filled with condensation, that condensation is cold water.
Okay.
And so on the opposite side of that pan, if there's no insulation, it condenses on the bottom of the pan also from the relative humidity in the atmosphere. So there's a lot of things that could take place. Even a drain pipe has to be insulated because the mm-hmm. drainage of condensate is cold to begin with.
Also, the other thing that's going on here, and this applies to a lot of people, condensation water coming out of an air conditioning unit is probably the third dirtiest water in your house. Number one being, we know. Number two being sinks, tubs, washing machines. And that's number three because in that water is everything that's in the air.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So it's because remember, the reason we smell things is because it's in moisture. And so this, all the stuff, all the dust, all the pollen, all the cat hair, all the dog hair, dander, everything is in that air, that gets condensate. So when it goes down the drain, it clogs things up. It can cause some real problems. And so if it's not draining properly, that is a problem. That should not be happening. Okay. I don't care how high the ceiling is.
So they're getting
it. And it's not the insulation problem. It's not any of that problem. It's only happening when the air conditioning is going on. Then what's going on? But we have to also the fact that the air should be leaving the unit and falling right to the ground.
So hopefully,
so why would the ceiling be the issue?
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. So people have to understand when the sunlight comes through a window, mm-hmm. you could actually see the particles of dust floating around. All of that is captured by your air conditioning unit
and your lungs, for that matter.
And your lungs and everything else. And that's what it is.
It's a jungle out there.
We've
got Linda and Clifton who has, I think, some wood shingle issues. Okay. Linda, are you there?
Go on, Linda.
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Go on.
What's your problem? Okay.
My situation is our house has shingles on the side. We're getting siding put on soon, but the shingles are old. The house is about 60 years old. We have a lot of bees buzzing around, like at the top, it looks like under the eaves.
Yeah.
And I've heard about this, that sometimes the bees make a nest under the shingles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned if these bees can get into the house somehow, if there's anything I can do.
Yes, they can get into the house. Hopefully not. How old is this house again?
Oh, I can't do the math, but it was built in 1966.
Okay, so there should be a wrapping of tar paper around the building. So there is an isolation between the building's underlayment, substrate, or shiplap, and the wood shingles on the outside. There's that layer of tar paper. Can bees get through, or if they're carpenter bees, yes, they could get through. I think really what you need to do is have regular service by an exterminator to come in and get rid of the if there are hives in your house or whatever around your house, to get rid of them, because eventually they will do damage.
Have you been experiencing any woodpeckers on your house?
Yes. Occasionally I hear them.
Well, that's the problem. Well, when you've got woodpeckers on your house, you know you got bugs in the walls, because that's what the woodpeckers are after.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you need to get an exterminator in here.
All right. I hope
and
that
especially
helps.
Tell them you have bees and woodpeckers.
Now, we've got a question from a listener who asks on Twitter, Al Zaruba. He says he hasn't run his dishwasher in well over a year.
But I can see his sink right now.
A lot of dishes.
Wait a minute. Should he be worried about the hoses breaking or something if he turns it on now? So he hasn't run it. Now he's thinking of running
it.
I
would run the dishwashing machine without any dishes in it first.
Al, did you hear that?
Put some detergent in it and everything else.
And I would, and also, since most, I don't know his installation, but most of the installations are, if it's not an accident, that the dishwasher is always situated right next to the sink.
Right.
For two reasons. One, so you're not dripping your dirty dishes across the floor.
True.
But also, it's where you get the water and you dispose of the water is right next to it. So why go far away? So the hose would be right there. So if there's a leak, he should... I'm going to say start the dishwasher and sit on the floor and watch it.
And watch. What if he starts a dishwasher and there doesn't sound like any water is...
Then open up the door, it stops.
Connecting. You know what I mean? I mean, is it possible the hoses might not work?
It's a possibility that the water is not flowing into it. But if he should check out the waste pipe that comes out, see if it's brittle, twist it a little bit back and forth, bend it. If it snaps off in his hands, it's not good. That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's not.
Okay,
and
Al.
So he should, do a couple of, touch it, feel it, smell it,
get
look
a chair,
at it.
Sit, watch,
and also
see what
clean
happens.
Out the bottom screen at the bottom. Pull out any old debris that's in there.
Al, after a year, I'm a little worried about that. But
I'm
a
little worried too. But
okay, all right, that's great. Let's go to Stuart in Long Island. Stuart gutted his house, and he's got some issues around what he found out when he gutted. Stuart, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So what's going on?
It's a little more complicated. About 10 years ago, I switched from steam to hot water heat.
Yes.
In my old house. And ever since then, when the temperature drops into the teens, the house just can't stay the temperature.
Okay.
Now, a few years ago, I had a whole gut and rehab begun, and they cathedraled the ceilings, but they insulated them like crazy. I've got like R30 plus in the roof lines and R13 in the walls, and the windows are relatively new also, but it still won't stay the temperature.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to figure out where I'm losing heat from. I got one of those
I don't think you're losing heat. I think you're just not producing enough heat. The two things is, what is the temperature of the water in your boiler set to? It should be, I don't know what kind of boiler you have, but if it's not set at 180 degrees, you're not putting enough heat into the radiators. That's
Yes. And
I've got it set up to about 190, 195.
Okay,
I wouldn't go that high. That's pretty risky at that high.
But move on. But what I'm thinking is, you don't have enough radiation in the house, because here's the problem. If the radiators are similar size to the old steam puts out a whole lot more BTUs than hot water does. So maybe you need to do more radiation in the space. And also, you got to know what the return temperature is of the water coming back to the boiler. If it's going out at 195 degrees, but it's coming back at a very cool temperature, it means that you're not getting enough, you don't have enough heat in the boiler. Maybe you need a second boiler, because you couldn't do boilers in parallel Like that is a thing.
Where is that because of those cathedral ceilings?
No, it's I don't think it's a cathedral ceiling. Because he's not living at the top of the cathedral ceiling. We heat our spaces to eye level. Okay.
That's right. That's where the thermostat is, at your eye level. The other thing is you should put your hand on top of the radiator. If the top of the radiator is not hot, you may be suffering from a condition called air embolism, where the radiator could be half filled with air instead of having circulated for the
pump. I'm sure you've bled the radiators, right?
Yeah, they get plenty hot.
Where are the bleeder valves?
No, he says they get plenty hot, so let's move on from that. Okay, let's not keep dwelling. I think that you just not have, like I said, the steam put out way more BTUs than the hot water does.
Yes.
And I think that's where, I think you need to talk to a heating engineer, a mechanical engineer, or a heating contractor who knows his stuff.
Knows how to calculate the room size area.
And windows and all that.
The radiator size.
You might have put in more windows. You might have done a lot of things that can offset that issue.
All right, guys, that's a good suggestion. Stuart, good luck with that. You know, before I let you go, there's a problem I've had. I'm curious about. What do you do to get rid of popcorn ceilings? Why were they ever popular, A? And, okay, so now they're not, and I want them
gone. Well, my sister Anna dealt with that.
Tell me very quickly?
Yes. You get a contractor in there with a lot of buckets of a joint compound, and they just trowel it over and smooth it off.
And make it smooth.
And that's what they do. Why do they do it? Because it's easier to get it's easy to get an uneven finish if the material is uneven. So it's easier on you spray, and who cares? And we're all going to.
Okay, guys, we got to ask you to sign off. You've been a wonderful guest. Go ahead.
Next time we'll be here, we will show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy money,
and do it safely.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. I'm Nancy Giles. I've been speaking with Al and Larry Ubell, our gurus of how to. Thanks so much for calling in, everybody. We'll be right back.